on the screen so you can follow along as they read.
Hello, can you hear me?
Good, good.
All right, well, Merry Christmas, CCC. Merry Christmas, Zoomland. Can you hear me? Give us a big wave if you can hear me. Good, good. Merry Christmas, visitors. Merry Christmas, kids. Well, I am so happy to be here today to be able to celebrate Christmas Day with you all. And so I've actually brought something along today that I really want to show you because I love Christmas. So today I brought along my Christmas tree. Do you like it? I'm really into minimalist things at the moment. Yeah, I really love Christmas.
I think you're missing something.
Who said that? You think there's something missing from this Christmas picture? I wonder what it is. I know. I forgot. The branches. I mean, a tree without branches is just a post, right? Okay, hang on, wait a second. Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches. That's a lot better, isn't it? Well, I'm thinking it's actually looking pretty Scandi right now, like something straight out of an IKEA catalogue, don't you think? Well, I love Christmas.
Excuse me, Uncle Jeremy, I think you're still missing something.
You think there's something still missing from this Christmas picture? I wonder what it is. I know. Hang on, let me have a look inside here. I realised this Christmas tree's naked. It has no clothes on. I think this luxurious Christmas tinsel will dress it up quite nicely. Yeah, that's much better. We've got luxurious Christmas tinsel dressing on a Scandinavian Christmas tree. I love Christmas.
Excuse me, Uncle Jeremy, I think you're still missing something.
What? You still think there's something missing from this Christmas picture? I wonder what it is. I know. Of course. Christmas lights. All Christmas trees need a bit of light to kind of dazzle and make it stand out. Yeah, these lights take a little while longer actually than the tinsel. Mm-hmm. That's much better. Now we've got some dazzling Christmas lights to kind of make it stand out. We have the luxurious Christmas tinsel to dress it up a little bit, all on a Scandinavian Christmas tree. I love Christmas.
Excuse me, Uncle Jeremy, I think you're still missing something.
What? You still think there's something missing from this Christmas picture? I wonder what it is. I know. Of course, all Christmas trees need some Christmas decorations. Now, I'm going to ask the kids here today to come up and give me a hand to dress this Christmas tree by hanging some of these Christmas decorations. And you can bring your parents up too to try to get to some of these higher branches. So kids, come on up and grab some decorations out of the box. Try to hang them on the top part of the branches so they don't just fall off.
Okay.
Yeah, these ones at the top. Yeah, that's it. Good on you. Oh, excellent. Thank you. Take more than one. Yes. Great. Here's some more. Don't worry, they're just plastic. They won't break. There's one more. Oopsie. Great. I think that's much better. We've got the Christmas decorations that bring the bling. We've got the dazzling Christmas lights that really make it sparkle and stand out. We've got the luxurious tinsel dressing, all on a Scandinavian Christmas tree. I love Christmas.
Excuse me, Uncle Jeremy, I think you're still missing something.
You still think there's something missing from this Christmas picture? I wonder what it is. I know. Of course, all Christmas trees need to have a Christmas star on top. Oh, how could I forget this? There, that's much better. I think this picture's perfect now. We've got the glittery Christmas star on top. We've got the Christmas decorations that bring the bling. We have the dazzling, sparkling Christmas lights. We have the luxurious tinsel dressing all on a one-of-a-kind, handcrafted, and may I say, very well-made Scandinavian Christmas tree. I love Christmas.
Excuse me, Uncle Jeremy, I think you're still missing something.
No, I'm not. I'm not this time. No, I've got the star, I've got the tinsel, I've got the lights, the decoration. I know. I know what's missing from this Christmas picture. But kids and everyone, I wonder if you know what, or shall I say, who might be missing from this Christmas picture. I'm going to give you a clue. Who gets that? Jesus. Jesus is missing. You see, often when you look around at the Christmas decorations at the shopping center, or you walk around the streets and you see the houses all done up in lights, or even you look around your own home, you may notice that often it's Jesus that's missing from the Christmas picture. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something today. You see, at Christmas time, we don't need a Christmas star. We don't need Christmas lights. We don't need Christmas decorations. We don't need Christmas tinsel. We don't need Christmas presents. We don't even need a Christmas tree. And that's because Christmas is all about Jesus. All that other stuff just serves as a distraction to what the real picture of Christmas is all about. But I do think that something is still missing. And I guess if we go away thinking that Jesus was just this cute little chubby little baby sleeping quietly in the manger, then I don't think we have the complete picture of Jesus. I want to read to you from the Bible, from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45, and it'll appear on the screen up there so you can follow along. It says, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served. Instead, he came to serve others. He came to give his life as the price for setting many people free." You see, Jesus came to earth with a special purpose in mind. And it wasn't just to look cute on a Christmas card or to give us a public holiday. No, the Bible says that Jesus came to earth to give his life to save us. And we know that he did that by dying on the cross to pay the price for our sin. So, everyone, as we leave here today and we go home to celebrate Christmas, have a wonderful time. You know, I love Christmas. But let's not get too distracted by our Christmas trees, our Christmas decorations, or our Christmas presents. Because even though that stuff's fun, let us remember that Christmas is really about how Jesus came to earth to die on the cross to save us. And everyone, that's the complete picture of Christmas. Bye.
Okay, let's sing a song. Now, everybody knows the tune to this song, but it's not about a reindeer. It's about the risen Savior.
Jesus, the risen Savior, had a very special gift, and if you ever saw it, heaven would be brightly lit.
All of the other people often laugh and call him names. They did the lamb for Jesus, care for them and play their games.
One day he was nailed on a tree, Jesus came to say, "Friends, I give my precious life. Won't you receive me tonight?" Then Jesus rose from the dead, as they shouted out with glee, "Jesus, the light in darkness, you'll go down in history." And Savior had a very special gift, and if you ever saw it, heaven would be brightly lit.
All of the other people often loving calling names,
tree, Jesus came to say, as I give my precious life, won't you receive me tonight? Then Jesus rose from the dead, as they shouted out with glee, Jesus, the light in darkness, you go down in history. You go down in history.
Revolution.
Thank you, band. Thank you so much for leading us all morning so far and leading us to sing about Jesus. And let's be honest with me. Who saw this plot twist coming? Because I've read the Bible before and I didn't see it coming. So good job, Jeremy. You blew my mind. I didn't, like, when you put that thing into the tree and then it became a cross, that was a really great plot twist. My name is Daniel. I'm one of the pastors here. It's my pleasure to just talk a little bit more about Christmas and center our thoughts on Jesus. Now, as I kick off, I'd love to show you a picture. Larry, can we get a picture up, please? Got a picture to show you. Larry, while you get that up, how about I just open in prayer for us and then, like buy you some time. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will commit our thoughts to you now. We have read your word together. We have spoken to you, interceding for the lowly and marginalized in our world. And we have sung praises to you for what we are celebrating today. Help us now as we bring our minds and hearts to focus once again on Jesus and Christmas. Amen. All right. Any luck, Larry, with that picture? All right. So there's a picture I had taken earlier this year. It's a picture of me. This was way back in July, right at the very start of lockdown. Now, you see that delicious tray of party pies and sausage rolls and mini quiches that I'm holding there? Well, I'd like to let you know that I ate that all by myself, and you can probably tell just by looking at me. I bought it for myself, and I ovened it, and I ate it all by myself because I had no one to share it with, because I had my party alone. Why didn't I invite anyone to my birthday party? Well, you can probably guess that because this picture was back in July, like many of you, my birthday happened during our latest lockdown when no one was allowed to see anyone else. And so my birthday was ruined once again for the second time in a row by COVID. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I mean, how many people have we got here? Let's just try this. How many people here, raise your hand if your birthday was canceled by COVID, or you were going to a birthday party and then that was canceled by COVID and you didn't get to go. Not as many people as I thought, but I think some people, oh no, there's quite a few. All right. In the last couple of years, the COVID pandemic has been disrupting our lives. And for the last 2 years, it has filled our Christmas celebrations with danger and anxiety and uncertainty. I mean, wasn't it just yesterday that it felt like we turned the corner? Wasn't it just last week or a month ago when the city was opening up again? And just as everything was opening up and we were coming back to normal, our fears were once again renewed. COVID is inconvenient. It has no respect for the Christmas season. COVID has once again hung an air of danger over our season's celebrations. It might or might not surprise you that the very first Christmas was also full of danger and anxiety and uncertainty. The first Christmas was also kind of a bummer. Just like ours sort of is this year. Jesus' birthday was also ruined, just like mine was this year, and many of yours as well. And I think sometimes we forget this, because with Christmas, we we sometimes try to romanticize it. We make it rosy and cheery in our heads. We forget that Jesus was actually born under rotten conditions and into a time of great political peril and danger and turmoil. I mean, I'll give you an example. Larry, can we get another picture up, the second picture, please? Earlier this month, my wife Jo and I got into a fight because we couldn't decide how to pronounce the word nativity. Is it nativity or nativity? And who says nativity? Oh, dear. Okay, though, there's a few people. Nativity? Okay, about 50-50. Okay, see, I told you it's not just an American versus Australian thing. Now, around this time of the year, you see pictures like this just about everywhere. You see it on Christmas cards. People use it on their Instagram backgrounds. You see it set up in Westfield, stuff like that. Now, doesn't this just look so lovely and ideal? But I will tell you what, it's lucky that we are only seeing this picture and we're not smelling it. Now, if you're a lifelong city slicker like I am, you probably haven't spent much time around cattle and sheep and horses and stuff like that, and you probably don't appreciate just how much they stink. And the Christmas story in Luke tells us that Jesus spent his first days on earth in a barn. His parents, Joseph and Mary, had to make a last-minute road trip to Joseph's hometown, and it was because the king had decided to hold a very poorly timed census. And everyone had to go back to their hometown. And by the time Joseph and his very heavily pregnant wife finally got to Bethlehem, who has gotten into a car and done a road trip with a 9-month pregnant woman, I'll tell you, it's not a fun trip. By the time they got to Bethlehem, they found that all the hotel rooms were already booked. And literally the only place left for them was with barn animals. And Luke records that Jesus was born in a manger. The King of Kings, we just sang this, lay thus in lowly manger in all our trials, born to be a friend. How many of you actually know what a manger is? I think some of you might be curious and you Google it and you look it up. And for those of you who don't know, it's a feeding trough. It's literally a box that you put food in for horses and pigs and cattle and stuff like that. And even though I'm a city slicker, I know for a fact that pigs don't use serviettes when they eat. They don't eat with a fork and a knife, and it gets really dirty and sloppy, and there's only so much you can scrub out of there before you put in the King of Kings. So there he is, the freshly born savior of humankind, and he's celebrating his birth with his parents in the stinkiest room in town, in the least sanitary bassinet you could imagine. And not even before they could really unpack their bags, guess what? They've got to go, because here comes the danger part of the Christmas story. The ruler of the land catches wind that a king had been born somewhere in his province. And Herod, well, being the bloodthirsty, power-hungry tyrant that he is, he springs into action because this is unacceptable. If a child has been born into my land that my people are now calling a future king, I can't have that. I can't have any rivals. I've got to go find and kill this kid. An angel appears to Joseph and to warn him, they quickly got their stuff together and hurry out of town. They were going to go lay low in Egypt for a while. Meanwhile, back in Bethlehem, Herod knew that a baby had been born in Bethlehem, but he didn't know which one because the magi, they didn't give up the secret. The wise men, they turned away. They didn't go back to report. And so he didn't know which baby it was that threatened his reign. And so he does the only thing that he could. He orders all the boys in town under the age of 2 to be slaughtered. So that's the first Christmas, full of wonderful, heartwarming details like government bureaucracy, last-minute travel plans, the smelliest birthing suite ever, and genocide and mass murder. Is Christmas supposed to be such a bummer? How do we celebrate Christmas with the Omicron variant hanging over our heads? And how could Jesus' birth be a time of joy when there's so much conflict and strife, even way back then? And yet, when he was born, the heavens celebrated. An army of angels appeared in the night sky and sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And yet, when he was born, the first ones who heard it as heard the news heard it as good news. A messenger appears to the nearby shepherds and says to them, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." And yet, when he was born, his very first visitors were overjoyed and they brought lavish gifts. The Magi fell on their knees to worship. Gold was the first Christmas present, and sweet incense covered over the stench of cow dung. That's what frankincense and myrrh was. Amidst the strife, the first Christmas was marked by joy. How does the world celebrate Christmas when the world is under never-ending conflict? Well, we celebrate Christmas because Jesus was born to end never-ending conflict. He came to right the world, to subdue the rebellious creation, and to depose wicked rulers. Jesus came to bring order to disorder. When the seas had threatened to capsize his boat and kill him and his disciples on Galilee, he spoke the storm into submission. When the people came to him with their sicknesses, Jesus brought healing into their bodies. He drove demons out. He eradicated pestilence. He undid curses. He came to break the power of the most ancient curse that has tormented us since the start of time. The curse of our sin, which leads to death. And this is why in just a moment we're going to sing together the following words. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Just before we prayed for the sick, we prayed for those with broken family, the homeless, and global conflicts. Do you know why we prayed for them today? Why we can pray for them today? Well, it was because Jesus was born on Christmas. It's because Jesus came to a ruined world to unruin it. Jesus came to unbend, to unbreak, to restore. He came to be a light to shine into our darkness. Has COVID-19 ruined Christmas? No, nothing can ruin Christmas, because Christmas is the season when we remember what God has done to mend our brokenness. Has COVID-19 put a question mark on your Christmas plans, filled them with an air of uncertainty and dread and anxiety? Well, remember that Christmas is all about God coming himself to restore the world with peace and righteousness. Has life made you weary? Are you getting tired these last couple of years? Well, just moments before, we sang together one of my all-time favorite lines of any Christmas song ever, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Jesus came for the weary. Truly today a new day has dawned. Yesterday the world was one way, the way of darkness and gloom. And now today, because an infant lay in a smelly pig feeder, the world is well on its way to being made beautiful again. Here is the promise of Christmas. Winston read it for us just before. From the prophet Isaiah, he says, "The people walking in great darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Friends, today we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate it as a day of hope. We recognize that hope has come, but that hope is not yet complete. Jesus was born, and he died. And he rose again. And that's what that cross there reminds us of. And because of that, a new and glorious dawn has broken into our horizon. Into our dark world is now lit a brilliant and undying light. And so once again, we wait. We wait in eager expectation. And now we hope. We hope with joy, no matter the gloom, no matter the new COVID numbers of the day, no matter the uncertainty of tomorrow. Because Jesus has come. Salvation has come. God has come today to be with us. Amen. Let's pray again. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. You have come. The world will never be the same again. We don't appreciate how deeply our lives are indelibly changed forever and ever. And though it's not yet complete, we have joy every day. We have hope every day, especially today of all days, because of what you've done. Thank you for coming. Our Emmanuel. Amen.
On the screen, so you can follow along as they read.